my name is Sydney, and I'm really excited for today's podcast collab.
Hi, my name is Maya. Oh my god, another podcast about fanfiction? Wow.
Hi, my name is Evan, and I do another podcast about fanfiction. I'm also really excited to be here.
Surprise! We're not the only pro-fan podcast, but unlike every Wild West movie, this town is big enough for the two of us. Though while we try to dive into the less serious, more entertaining side of fanfiction, he's bringing us a space to build communities, explore identities, examine media, escape consumer culture, and experience stories. Welcome, Evan from Fanfiction Is Good Actually, the podcast!
Thanks, guys. What a good intro. You went and you, like, read my official podcast description and everything. Good job.
I listened to all of your episodes getting ready for this.
She's the researcher.
I would not have remembered off the top of my head what my actual, like, synopsis is.
Sure.
So you're, like, three steps ahead of me, but...
Wow. Yeah, it's been very interesting to be in this space because... I think when we first started our podcast, at least, we didn't know that there were other pro fanfic podcasts.
Not at all.
Not in the slightest. No. We knew of one that's like Harry Potter and like that's it. Mm-hmm. But so it's been really nice to have like, oh, there's you guys and then you guys over here. And so
I've discovered quite a few through Twitter. Like you guys discovered me through Twitter. Mm-hmm. And then since then, I have discovered several other fanfiction is good podcasts.
Yeah, exactly. So the first question that I have, just to like start us off, is tell us about your podcast in the most simple or convoluted terms that you want. What do you talk about? Who do you interview? That kind of stuff.
So my podcast is called, as you said, Fanfiction Is Good Actually. I did not work hard on that name. It was like the first name in my brain, and I was like, well, it's going to be what it says on the tin, I guess. Fanfiction is good, actually.
Perfect.
And I learned a lot about myself through fanfiction and fan communities. And so on my podcast, I interview other people and sort of find out how fanfiction and fan communities shaped who they are and what they do and what their fandom journey is and how it relates to how they understand themselves today and things like that. So it is about fan fiction. It's also about fan communities at large, and it's also kind of about our personal journeys.
Yeah, you guys definitely have like a lot of, it's like a very large queer space and a lot of POC space where you guys like talk to those kind of people, and I really wish I want to have those people, but we'd like talk to fanfiction authors. So it's like first come, first serve for us. Like if you want to talk to us, like, we'll talk to you. But it's very scary to like be like, hi, do you want to talk to us? So we're just like,
surprisingly, there's a lot of people that want to talk to us.
Yes.
And I don't think that's surprising at all. I think a lot of people want to talk about the things they're passionate about. Mm-hmm. And you guys are, as you said, providing a pro fan community fan fiction space. And so everyone, I think, feels safe and comfortable coming to you and saying, I love this thing and I just want to talk about the thing.
Exactly. We're trying to be. We're very much trying to be.
I know we kind of bully people sometimes, maybe, but we're very nice.
Bullying, like, parentheses, endearingly.
With love.
With love.
Bullying respectfully.
Respectfully. what was the relationship that you had with fanfiction before the podcast? Did you have any history with fandom, fan culture?
Oh, yeah. So I grew up in, I was a little bit behind the curve with the internet. Mm-hmm. I lived out in the boonies as a kid. I didn't have the internet growing up. The first time I had access to the internet was when I turned 18 and went to college. Besides like the computer lab at school, which is not a place where you can just.
Yeah. They had like fanfiction.net like banned. Mm-hmm. Like from, you couldn't like get on there.
Yeah. So I got involved in fan communities on the internet, but I always felt like kind of an outsider to fan communities. I also had been writing recreationally since I was a little tiny child, like just with pen and paper. Like I was writing stories on notepads. I wrote many, many a ripoff of Lord of the Rings when I was like 8 or 9 years old, you know? So I was very excited to discover fan fiction on the internet. I was also like, you know, a horny teen around the time I discovered fan fiction. So there's
As
that.
We know,
you know,
yeah.
There's a, everybody's got that that's not true. I shouldn't say everybody has that aspect of their fan fiction life. Everybody stumbles upon the horny aspects mm-hmm. of fan fiction, whether they want to or not.
Yeah.
So there was that component of it. But then I'm also a trans man, and there was I always kind of knew this about myself to some extent, but through fan communities and through sort of experiencing different people's point of views through writing and learning about other people's identities, this kind of like helped me understand who I was better, and you know, helped me gain more perspective on myself through writing through the lens of other characters and things like that. So I do have many a published fan fiction on the internet. I'm not going to plug myself because a lot of them are old, and I don't necessarily want to be connected to some of them. Some of them I am fine being connected to, but they're like for very small fandoms, and I doubt anybody who listens to this knows about them. Like, I've written several fan fictions for the Legend of Drizzt fandom, which is like an 80s fantasy series. Yes,
very nice.
Yeah.
So, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I wasn't alive in the 80s, to be clear, but this guy who writes the Legend of Drizzt series has been writing them for like 35 years or something insane like that, and there's like 40 books or something. So, yeah, I've written some of those. I've written some Young Avengers fan fiction, the Marvel property Young Avengers. I have written some Dragon Age fan fiction, the video game. Those are, I guess, kind of my primary fandoms, you could say.
Okay.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's very surprising. I've learned from Maya on this podcast that she is a young person with like an old soul. you have liked so many things that I'm just like, what the hell are you talking about?
Dude, it's awesome.
And at the same time, she knows like all about the Dream SMP stuff, which is like very new and teenagery. Like,
listen. Yeah, I don't know anything about very young fandoms on the internet. I have no vines into that. But I remember you saying, Maya, that you like gangster AU fan fiction, which is. Am I misremembering? Is this correct?
Yeah. No,
you're
not.
Absolutely right. No, you're absolutely right.
So that kind of surprised me because, like, this is just something I also have no vines into. So I was like, oh, wow, that's an interesting AU for someone who's 20 or so years old.
Yes.
I'm 19. I'm not even 20. Okay. She's almost there. I think I'm almost there. But
by the time this episode comes out, you will be 20.
Oh, yeah. By the time this episode comes out, it'll be.
Happy almost birthday.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Also, almost happy birthday to Sydney. We have the same birth month.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, nice.
We're like 14 days apart.
Yeah.
Oh, it's cool.
14 days in 3 years.
it's just math. No, I do like the older stuff. Like, I have the original D&D books for like Castle Ravenloft and like that kind of stuff. So it's very in my realm.
Mm-hmm.
And like mentioning D&D, you are super, super into it.
I'm pretty into D&D.
You're pretty into it. So I think we've already got the connection, but how do you mix fan fiction and tabletop games? Like, it's a pretty good segue, but...
Yeah, so in addition to D&D, I also LARP, which stands for live action role play, which is where you go and you pretend to be an elf and you roll around in the dirt in the woods for a weekend.
It's a good time.
I do exactly what you would expect and write far too elaborate of a backstory for most of my characters. Love it. Love doing that. Most of it never comes up in either D&D or LARP, but I just like to have that foundation in my brain.
That's Tolkien syndrome.
This is a thing. I've actually consciously tried to do less of it because it's can be too restrictive on your like character decision making. Sometimes you've decided like, no, my character's a jerk. And then in the game, you get into some kind of a situation where you're like, wow, it would be really fun if my character wasn't a jerk so they could participate in this thing that requires them to be collaborative. So I've deliberately like pulled back on like writing character backstories because I'm like, you know what? Evan, the player, wants to have fun. And it doesn't actually matter if I'm being true to my, you know, this idea of the character in my brain or not. But yeah, there's definitely a strong, strong through line from any kind of role-playing game to fan fiction because you have to create a character in a setting that you did not yourself come up with, whether it's the DM came up with it or whether you're using a pre-written module or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
You got to play by those rules and you got to write a character in that setting and you got to understand the setting well enough to make the two work together. Then there's also like the storytelling, the collaborative storytelling aspect that happens in the game, not just your character backstory, but I really lean more towards like story-driven roleplay rather than like number-crunching, combat-heavy mm-hmm. roleplay. So when me and my friends get together to play RPGs of any kind, we always do something very narrative-driven, and we have like character development throughout, mm-hmm. and we, you know, do some roleplay, personal relationships, and stuff like that.
I don't know anything about being a DM. I also don't know if we've ever talked about it on the podcast. We both played D&D at one point.
Yeah.
And I love the character aspect of it, like the story aspect. I've never played with anybody who also likes that. Like, all of the time I'm just like, here's my elaborate backstory, and I'll give it to the DM, and they'll just be like, cool, and like throw it away in the garbage, basically. And they're just like, yeah, that doesn't matter.
Yeah, cool. The next 10 sessions will be a dungeon crawl grind.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I am not a power player. I do not, like, optimize my character attributes in any kind of a way. I mean, like, I try not to be absolutely useless. You know, I try not mm-hmm. to make deliberately bad decisions in terms of, like, the character build. But, yeah, trust me, you can find people out there. You can find D&D groups out there who will do storytelling roleplay
one day
with you.
One
also,
day.
Bear in mind that D&D is not the only role-playing framework that you can use, and arguably mm-hmm. it's not the best one for that kind yeah. of that kind of game. So I would recommend, like, Monster of the Week is a very good one.
I've heard they did that one on the Adventure Zone. They did that for like their second season or something like that, and I enjoyed that season quite a lot. Mm-hmm.
There's also there's a framework called Powered by the Apocalypse, and there's other games based on that framework that you can do. There's I had a lot of fun with Masks, which is like a superhero role-playing game.
Very cool.
I'm not sure what system that falls into, but yeah, Masks is fun.
There's a vampire one out there, and I can't remember what it's called, but it's a D10 system.
Vampire one?
Yeah, like the framework was I can't remember it. They did it on, what's the show with Matthew Mercer?
Critical Role.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
They did a one shot where they did the vampire one.
Okay.
I can't remember. That one's a little bit, since it's a D10 system, they're not like as decisive, like as critical on the dice, but it's still, I don't know.
You're not talking about Monster Hearts, are you?
I don't think so. No, okay. That doesn't ring a bell.
They have done a lot of, like, side one-shots on the Critical Role channel, so I don't know which this vampire one is. Yeah. Monster Hearts is almost exclusively social roleplay, but it's a very mature game, and if you don't really know the people you're playing with well, you can accidentally hurt some people's feelings.
Oh, yikes.
It's a lot. There's a lot about, like dating built into the game, and there's so it's extremely, extremely social, but it's also about, like, as real social relationships are, social relationships in the game are very complicated, and if you're not, like, mentally prepared to separate, like, what's happening in the game from, like, your real life friendship, it's mm-hmm. it can be a little bit challenging to play. It's fun, but you got to play with exactly the right group of people.
Yikes. Yeah, I just remember being a player is, like, fine overall. Like, whenever I play a fantasy game, like, I try to just be the most chaotic human being in the world, because in real life, I'm just not. Like, I'm very overthinky, very, like, everything, like, I have a whole thing of just notes that I print out every single week and, like, episodes that I have planned years in advance. So, like, when I go into the games, I'm just, like, the most chaotic, murderous kind of human being. But I had, like, a friend one time who was like, I think you'd be really good at DMing. Like, you do a lot of story building, and, like, that's really cool. And I put together for the group I was in, like, four or five session game that was in, like, a whole world that I had, like, built, because I'm just really extra and have, like, three Virgos in my chart. So I put together
what that means. I'm not a
so I put together, like, a whole world, and I for some reason in my mind I was like, we're gonna go here, here, and there, and then it's gonna be the end. Ta-da, all right. And then one session, my characters, like, the people, like, my friends in the group, they, like, sidetracked and then like burnt down and stole like from a frat house, and I was like, this is not how I expected this to go. And like that was the day where I was like, maybe I should just stick to writing, because I can at least be like, you're gonna do this, 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 and this, and you're not gonna go off and burn down a frat house.
Yeah, you have to be prepared for the fact mm-hmm. that you cannot control the characters no. in a role-playing game. Yeah, I've only DM'd twice, and the two times I have DM'd, well, it's a GM in this system, game master, not a dungeon master, but I have GM'd for the Dragon Age tabletop role-playing game. There is a separate system for Dragon Age based on the video game, and I really like it. I think it also lends itself well to sort of a storytelling approach mm-hmm. rather than a number crunching approach. There's fewer dice to worry about, and you can like add flavor to your physical combat and stuff like that. Like nice. if you get doubles, you can do something weird and you can decide what that weird thing is. So I think it's a good system, underutilized, I would say, because fewer people know about it.
Sure.
But yeah, I don't know if you guys like Dragon Age, but that's another good one.
I mean, she does way more than I do in the space.
I played Inquisition a little bit, but not too much. It is a plan of mine to like learn about it at least.
Yeah, how I got into Dragon Age is the dude I was dating at the time bought Inquisition, and I would like watch him play over the back of the sofa. You know, I would just okay. put my head up like a meerkat, like, oh, what you doing? And then Dorian Pavis and his fabulous mustache came on the screen, and I was mm-hmm. like, who is this mustache man? Yeah. I know him biblically, and you can fuck him in the game. Oh, I'm sorry.
Absolutely.
Okay, I thought it was. I was just like, wait, am I misremembering? Okay.
I literally can't stop myself around children, let alone my own podcast, so.
Yeah, so I played Inquisition specifically to fuck Dorian Pavis, but turns out Perfect. There's way more to that game, and I loved it. I'm working my way backwards through the other Dragon Age games.
You came in horny and you left like enlightened.
Yeah, I did.
Very nice. So I do want to talk about this because you have mentioned this on your podcast quite a few times. Mm-hmm. Fan fiction on Quizilla, because just to put into perspective, when Quizilla got bought out by Teen Nick and the fan fiction was purged, we were both 6 and 9 respectively. So I didn't know there was fan fiction on Quizilla until I think I heard it from like you and another fan fiction podcast. Yeah. And I was like, what the hell is going on?
So this is going to be a focus when I have you on my podcast. I'm going to respectfully make fun of you about how young you are. I hope.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Bullying, but respectfully.
Respectfully. Yeah. So my first, I mentioned I didn't have access to internet mm-hmm. until college, but I was at my mom's house weekends and every other Wednesday from the time I was about 14, I think. And she had a computer. So strictly speaking, this was my first exposure to fan fiction. Mm-hmm. It was in the computer room at my mom's house because children, you see, we used to have a room in the house called
I had a room in my house with a computer. Thank you very much. It was the dining room.
But yeah, so we had a computer room at my mom's house. And obviously I could not get too deep. I could not get too deep because my mom was right there.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was my first exposure to fan fiction. Was I got on Quizilla, I think, because somebody sent me like some kind of personality quiz.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that because of essentially an accident of programming, there was no like character limit on the question field on the quizzes. And so people were just putting entire like fan fiction chapters in each question on Quizilla. Oh. And then each like quote unquote question was a chapter, and you just like the answer at the bottom was just like continue, yes, no. And then you'd like go to the next. So
sure, okay.
Yeah, it was very clunky. It was not a good system, but there was no there was no moderation. And at mm-hmm. the time, fanfiction.net had like banned mm-hmm. mature fanfiction. So, and of course, the guy who built Quizilla did not imagine that he would need moderation on his quiz website.
I mean, that's really fair, yeah.
Yeah, so this was an elaborate way of, like, dodging mature fanfiction moderation on other websites. And it also, because the quizzes were largely based on popular media properties anyway. It was all like, which Buffy character are you? Or like, which Harry Potter character? It was already sort of accidentally sorted by fandom that way anyway, because it was just like Harry Potter quizzes, Buffy quizzes, anime quizzes, you know, on the panel or whatever. So you'd go in there and whether you want to do or not, some of those quizzes were going to be fan fiction. Like whether you wanted to see that or not, you were going to get fan fiction in your quiz results.
Was there, like, because I feel like the setup was really perfect for, like, choose your own adventure type things. Like, were there ever any of those on there?
There were. The form logic was really limited. So Quizilla was not that sophisticated of a website. I would say it was probably even slightly less sophisticated than, like, the Google Forms are now, where it lets you have, like, either or answers and then move to the next screen. So, yes, it would essentially weight your answers to give you a result based on those answers, but in a really, really technologically limited way. It was just a percentage, basically. So if you had 10 questions and you answered 6 of them one way and 4 of them another way, you would get the result that more of your questions were based on. Does that make sense? You know, so you couldn't do, like, if you answer this question, yes, it gives you this question. If you answer it, no, it gives you a different question. It was just, like, it would just weight your answers by percentage and then give you the result based on the percentage. So people did try. People did try to do choose your own adventure stuff. And some people sort of managed to do something like that. There was one, I think I've brought this up on my podcast before, but there was one that was kind of a mystery date thing where, like, it was all written in second person and you had, like, a secret admirer, you know, like it'd say, like, you know, somebody's, like, leaving you letters at your house, or, like, somebody's, you know, acting weird around you at school or something. I think this was like a Yu Yu Hakusho fan fiction, but it was like a high school, I don't know.
It sounds like a Yu Yu Hakusho high school, like, YN. Like,
something like that. But anyway, it was like Reader X character, but you were trying to, like, guess throughout the quiz / fan fiction which character it was who was, like, your secret admirer or whatever. And I vaguely remember that sort of working with the format. I may have just, like, stumbled onto a good answer purely by accident, and the formatting may not have been very good, but I was like, oh, that's neat. That's a neat idea. The second person fan fiction format was another thing that brought people to the Quizilla website, because that was also, for some, I don't know why, but that was banned for some reason on fanfiction.net. You couldn't write, like, you do this and then you do that, and then, like, you can make arguments about whether that's a good writing style or not. I personally think any writing style can work if you know.
I mean,
what you're
we
doing.
Think it's a good writing style because
we write exclusively in, like, second person.
What I'm saying is, like, I have no idea why they decided to ban that. I think that was, like, honestly, like, dumb and judgy of them to, like, just ban that outright, as though it's impossible to write a good fan fiction in second person format. So people who wanted to read or write in that format would go to Quizilla instead of fanfiction.net.
Okay. So what fanfiction platforms have you been on? Like, you've been on Quizilla, fanfiction.net, AO3.
Those are the ones, really. I miss LiveJournal altogether.
Okay.
I just never got involved in LiveJournal because I wasn't involved deeply enough in, like, fan communities that I ever got on LiveJournal. And, like, by the time I got into fanfiction.net, I was on there for, like, quite a few years. That was, like, the biggest sort of aggregator at the time that I was in college. But then I think it was towards the end of when I was in college was when AO3, like, launched in its beta format, and everybody, like, as fast as they could get like those referral links, they would migrate to AO3. It was just a much better website. So yeah, that was really my progression, was just through those three sites. I know that there's much more out there.
Yes. Yes, for sure.
Yeah. And there was also like an era where the most popular way of publishing fan fiction on the internet was to do it on a hyper-specific individual website. Mm-hmm. Like, there were websites specifically for Harry Potter fan fiction. There were websites specifically for I did wind up on at least one of these at one point, but there were websites specifically for Legend of Drizzt fan fiction.
Nice.
So they used to be extremely decentralized like that. And part of that was because of like copyright. They were hoping to kind of like hide on specific URLs that were only accessible to specific people.
They were like hoping that maybe if they wrote their Anne Rice Interview with a Vampire fan fiction on like a different site, that they wouldn't get like DCMA'd.
Yeah. It didn't. I mean, maybe some of them got away with it, but on the larger sites, it definitely didn't work. Many of them got taken down.
It's sad.
It's unfortunate.
It's unfortunate, really, yeah. Like, how many fanfictions did we lose because of that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm reading a very interesting book right now called Textual Poachers, and it's about, like, television fandom, and it talks about, like, fanzines in, like, the 80s.
Yes.
Very, like, I was not alive at that time, but it's very interesting. It's something I'm really hoping to get an elder fan guest on my podcast to talk about, like, fan culture when it was still literally printed zines that you would mail to each other's houses.
They were, you have to, like, it was in the weirdest of places. Like, you have to find, like, she was a stay-at-home mom in, like, the 80s who, like, on her free time just watched Star Trek when the kids were at school or something like that. Like, that's who those people were.
Yeah, it's, I think it's actually, and I'm not a scholar, so I can't say this with official authority, but fan communities are actually moving more towards, like, an equal gender distribution, but up until very recently, it was a very female-dominated space, which is really interesting because it's extremely counter to most other spaces in society.
For sure, like, absolutely. So
it's just a fascinating, like, era in fandom history.
Yeah, I mean, we have our own thoughts, like, on that, that we've talked about, like, on our podcast, where it's just, like, there's a reason why people don't like fanfiction, and it's because that women like it, and women...
and society hates women, unfortunately.
Oh my god, yeah. absolutely. Like, I went out with a guy last night, and he was, like, one of those things where it was just, like, oh, like, what are your hobbies? And I didn't know how to say, like, talking and writing about fan fiction, so I just did it, you know. I was just like, I don't know how to say this, this doesn't feel the right time to say it, like, because I feel like even if it was just like, oh, well, I write, then he'd be like, what do you write? And I'm, I don't know.
Yeah, it's also, and this, I mean, this is partially because I only have I mostly have fandom community friends, but because I am a man and I am now socially perceived as a man, I don't hesitate to bring up fan fiction because I don't get ridiculed for it, you know? So I'm sorry about that.
This wasn't a rip.
I feel so happy when I see younger people like promoting their fan fictions on Twitter and talking about fan fiction on TikTok. Like, there are still really bad spaces on TikTok that I really don't want to associate with, but, like, there is, like, a good part of TikTok of people, like, there was, for a moment, like, a brief period of time during quarantine where everyone was talking about this one Haikyuu fanfiction. Like, everybody was talking about it, and I was like, this is the kind of, like, support and, like, spotlighting that fanfiction get all the time. Like, not just this one brief instant of, like, I don't know, a month, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard because, like, fan art is such an easy way to consume, like, creation.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a photo, and people are like, yeah, that's great. And then they just kind of move past it, which is sad in a way, but also they're getting the recognition they deserve because they did put in hours of work, possibly, into drawing or painting that. And fan fiction never used to get that. Like, at all. Like, it's too much of a hassle to read, I guess.
Yeah,
I so, like, whatever.
Reading, I mean, what I get burden. It. I'm posting 20,000 words at a time. Like, Maya barely wants to read it.
I still do that.
He's with you. So.
Yeah, it is interesting, though, and this is sort of the first time it's not the first time I've been made aware of it, but it's the first time I'm thinking about how weird it is that fan art is pretty acceptable.
Yeah.
Like, fan art is pretty widely considered mm-hmm. just a normal thing that people do, but, mm-hmm. like, shame on you if you read or write fan fiction.
It's also, like, very strange because, like, fan art people sell all the time.
Yeah.
But, like, mm-hmm. and I get it. Do not sell your fan fiction. Don't, absolutely not.
We don't need capitalism up in the mix, honestly. Like, this was a surprise to me, but apparently you're not allowed to put like Ko-fi or mm-mm. or Patreon links on AO3.
Yeah.
Which, to be honest, I do abstractly understand why they don't allow that, mm-hmm. but I also kind of wish that there was a way to like tip fan fiction writers, maybe this is hypocritical, I do feel like it would be in bad taste if people were like, you have to pay to read my fan fiction.
Oh yeah.
But at the same token, I wish that there was a way to just throw them a dollar, like, hey, I like this, have a dollar.
I know it's gotten more popular for people to make Patreons and take down or like published one chapter of a teaser.
And if you want to unlock the rest of the story, you can pay $5
on my Patreon,
which
not as many people are doing it, but
I appreciate why they're doing it, but sure. I don't necessarily think, like, if you have a Patreon, I think that's more for like one shots and drabbles mm-hmm. and just like short
extra things.
extra little things, not like your main works. But I also don't run my own Patreon mm-hmm. account, so I don't know what people want.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what they want. I don't know.
Yeah. So for my podcast's network, we have a Patreon, but we don't put any like normal episodes behind a paywall there. Mm-hmm. Like everything is freely available. And if you happen to enjoy what we're doing, you can give us money and you get just like a couple of silly things, but you don't really miss anything important if you choose not to give us money. So I think, while I understand why this is not a feasible economic system for most people to like make a living mm-hmm. off of, I do think this has become sort of like acceptable in culture now. Like if you produce free fan stuff, people are more willing to like give you a dollar or two every now and then. And it doesn't put people off when you say like, hey, you can have this for free, but also if you want to give me money, that would be cool of you. You know, that doesn't come off as invasive or needy or anything like that.
Yeah, like I know that we at least we have a Ko-fi, and every single time we're like, if you like us enough. But yeah, we're, you know, we're never at least on my end. Like I would never put any of the episodes behind a paywall. I know at one time Spotify was just like, we're betaing this thing where you can put episodes behind a paywall. And that didn't go anywhere because I never heard about that again. So I think like every podcaster on Spotify was just like, why would I do that? Like I do have my Patreon for those extra things. Like Spotify, why would I ever do that?
Oh no, this is bubbling something up in my brain now. Are you aware of the Tumblr Post Plus thing?
Yes.
Oh my God. Yes.
Very aware.
Oh God, yeah.
Very not happy
No.
I know this is not related to fan fiction at all, but oh boy, what is happening over at Tumblr?
It kind of is where there was like one, I don't remember what episode it was, but I like had to like look into it because in their original post that they had made about Post Plus, they were like, you could put anything behind a paywall. Yeah. You could put your photography, your this, your Destio fan fiction. And people were like, Tumblr, what are you doing?
The CW could sue me and you're not going to do anything about it.
No. So there was like a whole outcry of people on Tumblr being just like, Tumblr, what are you doing? Like
this is an awful,
these teenagers have no idea about the purge of fanfiction.net. Like they don't know anything. Like, and all Tumblr is going to do is just take down your account because they're not going to deal with this by a case by case basis. Like they're just going to be like, shut the whole thing down.
They couldn't even moderate their own, not safe for work ban. You guys were on there when that happened, right?
Yes.
There was porn on Tumblr and now there's
not. Oh, yes.
Yeah. So they didn't even like have human beings to review like posts that were flagged.
Yes.
They just had an AI, anything that was vaguely skin toned, they banned. There was a picture. Do you remember that picture of Jeff Goldblum that looks like he's a centaur, but his centaur body is cropped out of the
image. Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Maya is nodding. Yeah, so there's a picture of Jeff Goldblum shirtless, and the way he's got like a piece of fabric like draped around his hips or something, and like if you just glance at it, it looks like there's a horse body cropped out of the.
Okay.
So and it is just a shirtless picture of Jeff Goldblum. There's nothing like racy about it. That one was on my account, and that one got flagged, and I had to take it down. There was a picture of me, like just a selfie, not a racy selfie, just a regular selfie. Perfect. That got flagged. And then someone pointed out recently that if you put any picture of sand or sand dunes or anything like that, we'll take it down. Doesn't matter what they're shaped like. Doesn't have to be vaguely human shaped at all. Any picture of sand dunes.
Any beige color, yeah. Basically.
Any beige color, yeah.
Very nice, very nice. Yeah, the fanfiction got out, though. The fanfiction.
They tried. And then people started stealing other people's fanfiction on Tumblr, and then it was like a whole thing.
So this is not a thing that was common when I was actively on Tumblr. I mean, I still have a Tumblr technically, but I only poke my head in there occasionally just to see what's on fire, and then I retreat.
Maya is the queen of Tumblr, according to me.
But yeah, putting fan fiction on Tumblr was not a thing that people did, and I have seen it in the last several years, and I was like, oh, how do you... Because the problem is you can't search for anything on Tumblr. Like, the tag system is so bad. I'm surprised that people use it that way, because it is so hard to find prior posts. So if you want to find something and catch up on it, I guess you got to have a custom tag.
Yeah, no, lots of, especially if you find people that you really, really like, usually, I usually do this in my case too, they put their own like name as a hashtag, as like a tag that you can look up. So then you can go back and look through it, or they tag the work name so that you can go back and look through it. That's like, their tag system does suck ass, but that is one of the best ways that people have figured out how to do it. Or you just send it to yourself if you have two accounts, like most people. And that's the bookmarking system that I use. Like, it sucks ass. I don't know why they don't have a bookmarking system. It's been years.
So do you put it on AO3 and then also publish it on Tumblr?
Yeah, so I usually publish on AO3 first, and then when I post on my Tumblr account, I also link to my AO3. It's like, hey, you can, that's a better site.
Certainly linking makes sense to me, like making a Tumblr post and linking to fan. I've done that in the past.
But there was a time where you only posted on Tumblr.
Yeah. But they also have you can also link the chapters, like most people do the previous and the next slots at the beginning of it, like where the author notes usually go. It's a lot of coding. As a 14-year-old, I did not need to learn how to code, but I did for Tumblr and to publish fan fiction.
See, I don't know. It seems like a bad system, man.
It's a horrible, horrible system. But I don't know. All of my stuff is on that site, so I'm like attached.
Yeah. You could just start charging money for it. Just see what happens. If you get a takedown notice, you can just nuke the whole thing.
Honestly,
I never existed.
Yeah,
I keep telling her to just move her stuff over to AO3.
But that's so much work. That's so much shit. I don't want to do that. Oh my god. Maybe one day.
Maybe one day.
Not today.
Okay, so you have been in fandom culture for at least longer than we have. Has your thoughts on fandom evolved as you have grown? Like, have the people that you have talked to on your podcast changed your thoughts about fans, fan fiction, fandom?
Yeah, so I used to be pretty like self-deprecating about it. I used to like essentially like diss myself a lot about liking things. And I think that this was a very common sort of defense mechanism that people in fandom when I was a teenager used to have. You know, you wouldn't mention it in mixed company, and even when you mentioned it amongst your friends, you might be like, oh yeah, ha, you know, I like this stupid thing. Oh yeah, it's, you know, these, there's this really bad haha thing that I read for fun, haha, you know. And I am relieved to see that people are less inclined to talk about themselves that way now, because I do think it, like, even if you are doing it in a joking way, I do think this is detrimental to your mental health to be dissing yourself all the time. So I'm very glad that fan culture has become much more mainstream now. There's a lot of factors that led to that. One of them, this is a controversial opinion, but 50 Shades of Grey becoming a published novel definitely made people aware of fan fiction, for better or worse.
Yeah.
It made people aware of fan fiction, and it made sort of like middle-aged moms like party to fan culture now, even if they hadn't thought of themselves that way before. So that was a factor. The aggregation of media properties under Disney has been a factor, because suddenly Marvel Studios has all of this money to do all of these shows about stuff that used to be an extremely sort of niche property that people were made fun of for liking. Same with Star. I mean, Star Wars is a weird case, right? Because it was a huge cultural phenomenon, but there were people who were too into Star Wars were still ridiculed, you know? Yeah. There was a level of liking Star Wars that was, like, socially acceptable, and a level of liking Star Wars that was not socially acceptable.
Yeah.
But, yeah, all of these properties that are lucrative for various studios have become much more mainstream now, and so there's a lot less taboo about being in fan culture, and so people who like things are freer to talk about them now than they used to be.
I feel like with what you said about Star Wars, Lord of the Rings and Game of Thrones are the exact same. Like, if you know too much, like, if you know what the map looks like, if you know the house lines, then you're kind of weird. But now we're getting spin-off shows for both Lord of the Rings and Game of Thrones, and now it's going to be okay.
I will also give Game of Thrones credit for like mainstreaming fantasy shows, because, and you saw the people who like Game of Thrones go through exactly the process I was talking about, where people used to say, like, oh, Game of Thrones is the fantasy show for people who don't like fantasy. You know, like, you could like Game of Thrones and kind of diss yourself for liking Game of Thrones and still be socially acceptable, like, because Game of Thrones was this, like, prestige show.
Yeah.
But that opened the door for, like, other high fantasy properties entering the mainstream, because it was a very high budget show that for most of its run was very well done.
Yeah.
That made it okay to like that publicly. And then it made it okay for people who already liked fantasy stuff to talk about liking fantasy stuff, because the jocks liked fantasy now, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Well, as soon as there's sex, you know, in the show, then it's like, oh, wow, I watch Game of Thrones.
Well, it's the same exact thought I have about the Beatles. Like, the Beatles were this, like, as of right now in 2020, in our Lord's year of 2021, like, they're a cultural icon or whatever. But in the beginning, they were, like, men hated them because it was all the teeny boppers. Only the teeny boppers liked them. And then they only became this big thing when men started to like them. And that was it.
Yeah.
Like, it's
when
the
hipsters
same thing
started liking the Beatles became cool.
Exactly, exactly. And it's kind of the same thing for how I feel about Star Wars. Like, I am not in the Star Wars fandom at all. I've only watched them because my mother's really into them. Like, I don't feel a certain way about Star Wars. But, like, there is, like, the people who go too far. And honestly, the people I think who go too far are the people who will, like, hate tweet that Asian American actress because she's just in
Kelly
the
Marie
movie.
Tran? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah.
And then those are the same people who I think the people who give the Star Wars fandom a bad name, because they're the same people who, like, will hate the women who write, like, Reylo fan fiction. Like, the Reylo people have given me nothing but love, like, especially after I did the one episode about them. Like, they're incredibly kind, and all they want to do is just watch Rey and Kylo Ren fuck. Like, that's it. That's all they want in, like, different alternate universes. And, like, men hate it.
Yeah. This is not a ship that I ship, but, like, y'all do your thing, Reylos. You stay strong out there.
Exactly.
You ship that thing. You show them.
I mean, yeah, it's just, like, that's it. And it's the same. I mean, I think they really hate it because they think Rey is this Mary Sue, which, like,
Everyone's a Mary Sue.
Yeah, I mean,
every
exactly.
protagonist is a Mary Sue. People, like,
so, but yeah, it's definitely because we only came in, I would say, at least I did, about, like, 5 years ago. So I always kind of ask that question to the people who are in their 30s, because I feel like most of our guests have been, like, in their 30s, and they've been in this space way longer than we have. So, like, what has the difference been for them, like, here and there? And it's just been really weird to think, like, in the last 5 years, like, everything has changed so drastically.
Yeah.
Oh, another important thing that has changed I want to bring up is that there never used to be any kind of consideration given to people who didn't want to read sex stuff. And we're much better about, like, tagging things now and being considerate and putting, like content warnings on things. Mm-hmm. Because, in the olden days, you were trying to hide from the mods, basically.
Yes, yes.
So you couldn't mention what was in the fan fiction anywhere, like, in the summary or anything like that. So I understand that it was partially about, like, just evading the fan fiction police, basically. But in the transition period, like, when AO3 came out and there was a way to tag that and nobody was going to take it down, there was almost, like, a disdain for people who were, like, asking for, like, content warnings and stuff like that. You know, there was almost, like, a, oh, back in my day, we didn't have the, you know, tagging system, and, you know, you just got what you got. And I'm glad that we're over that now. I'm glad that we have arrived at a place where we're like, yeah, it's just fine to put what's in it. You should just put what's in it, guys.
Like, I don't care what you're writing, just make sure you put it in there so that I don't have to read it. Like,
it's definitely gotten a lot better. I definitely appreciate it, but there's still people who are very much against the idea of doing it because of that mentality of, like, well, I didn't have to do it, so I'm not going to. And it's like, people got trauma. People don't want to stumble across this.
Yeah, it's just considerate, guy. I mean, there's plenty of things in life that you don't have to do, I guess.
Yeah.
But, like, that are just, it's better if you do. You're it's just better for everybody if you do. It's not hard. Just be considerate, guys.
Yeah. Okay, so in your short time of podcasting, what is the best podcast advice that you have come across?
Ooh, best podcast advice. Talk about stuff that you love and you will never run out of content, basically. And also, don't talk about stuff that you know absolutely nothing about. I've seen so many people try to do, like, true crime podcasts. Like, okay.
So many.
You like, I guess you like true crime, that's fine. But, like, if you're, if you've got wrong information, like, if you're just getting information off Wikipedia, you're contributing to misinformation, potentially. Mm-hmm. So maybe don't do that. Just have... If there's any stakes to what you're talking about, make sure that you're well informed. But if you're just talking about personal experiences, just talk about stuff you love. Just talk about the things that you truly want to express your enthusiasm for.
Okay, so we are coming to the end. So I have a YN's choice. So we have an Evan's choice. Of the people you've had on your podcast, who has been your favorite? Maybe somebody who you learned something from, or somebody you just had a really good conversation with. This question is basically just to point our listeners into the direction of a really good first episode of yours that they can listen to.
And don't give us the parent crap where it's like, well, I love all of my children. I love all of my children. We know there's a favorite.
I have I have a favorite episode. Like, I'm just like, here, go listen to this one.
I'm still very attached to my first episode with Emma Purinen because I think that her her area of study is really fascinating. Mm-hmm. She is doing a PhD, like a PhD that she functionally designed herself that combines like the fiction discipline and astronomy. So she's studying exoplanets in science fiction and, like, the portrayal of exoplanets in science fiction. And also, like, she's just a really good conversationalist. So it is my first episode. It's episode number one, but it is among the best episodes so far, think, which is, I mean, that makes it sound like I peaked with episode one. I didn't. There's a third episode. But I'm very attached to that one. I think it was a really successful episode. I think it was a great conversation. I think Emma's really interesting and her area of study is really interesting. So I'd say just start with episode one. Just jump right in.
Hell yeah. I wish I liked episode one of ours a little bit more. I can remember nothing about it.
We just rambled for an hour.
Okay. And then what is next for your podcast?
Ooh, so we're going to record an episode together.
Hey!
Guys and I are going to record an episode together. So that's going to be like 3 episodes from now. I just recorded one about the Transformers fandom, that was truly fascinating to me. It actually makes me want to go read Transformers fan fiction. And
okay, all right.
I've had no interest in Transformers as a media property, but
no, no.
The fan culture and the fan like tropes around the fan tropes around Transformers like fan fiction is just so fascinating because it's taken on such a life of its own, mm-hmm. separate from the actual official media property. So
interesting.
That's gonna be out, I think, next week. I released one late recently, so I gotta make sure that I'm on track to get that next one out soon. But yeah, I'm very excited about the Transformers one, and I'm excited to talk to you guys again to very put nice. It on my podcast.
Yeah, we will definitely be linking that in our Twitter when that episode comes out. Yes. So go listen to that, guys. So, and then yeah, your podcast. Plug your podcast. Plug your socials. Whatever. Plug them right here, right now, and they'll be in the cool. description of the episode too.
Yeah, the podcast is Fan Fiction is Good, actually. It is available wherever podcasts are downloaded for free. Mm-hmm. It is part of a network called Where They May Radio, where myself and my partner and my friend Ronnie and our friend Ryan do a couple of podcasts together. They're mostly about nerd stuff.
Perfect.
You should listen to all of them. Where They May Radio is accessible on Twitter at WTM Radio. Patreon.com/WTM Radio. There's some free stuff on there too. If you go to the Patreon, you can listen and watch some free stuff. And we've got four, I think soon to be five. Anyway, we got a bunch of podcasts about nerd stuff that you can listen to via Where They May Radio.
Yay! Awesome! Whoa. Well, thank you guys for listening so much. Thank you, Evan, for being on this episode.
Of course. Thank you for doing this dual episode collab with me, guys.
Yes. Yeah,
love doing it.
All right. Our outro. Follow us on Twitter, TikTok, Tumblr. Email us your fanfiction recommendations at
canonicallyincorrectpod@gmail.com.
Thank you so much, Maya. Yep. We have a Ko-fi if you like this episode. And if you just want to give us like a little tip, this episode
give them
is
money.
Money.
Give them
money.
We need mic stands.
This episode will be coming out on our birth month. So if you want to give us like a birthday present, it's, like you don't have like, to, but like
the sentiment's there.
Yes. Mm. So that is ko-fi.com/canonicallyincorrect. Follow us on Spotify. Rate, review, subscribe to us. If you can't do anything, rate, review, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. It would mean the world. It just helps people find us better. Donate to AO3.
Tag your fix accordingly.
And we'll see you guys next time. Bye.